So we're you guys all look tired.
I'm talking at mute.
Oh, perfect. So we're here today to talk about the future of recreation and our plan for where we would like to see it go. And we'd like to have, obviously, a discussion with you all about that. We feel that there's a really big opportunity right now to take what we're currently doing, which we don't feel is working to the potential that it could, and taking that and changing it and coming up with a new plan. So I'll share with you kind of one of my favorite quotes that I kind of use for everything I do. It's be stubborn about your goals, but flexible about your methods. So I feel like what we're doing right now might not be working the best, but our end goal is not going to change. Just how we're going to get there needs to change. So what we're here today is to ask council to allow our department the opportunity to get to our end goal, but in that different way. We all want vibrant, healthy, active, self-sustaining communities. And we have very unique communities in our region that all have different needs, and our end goal is obviously to provide them with the spaces and the supports to be able to be active. And right now our focus has been a lot on the programming piece and not looking at the overhaul, like behavioral change and offering the programs, and not the programs but the supports for those communities to be active. So we feel this is an opportunity to implement and create plans that have links to our specific communities and to foster strong community partnerships. So in our 2020 vision, we've committed to some high-level work that's going, we think, to affect change within our communities. So one is creating a Recreation for All policy. So that's not going to be targeted at a specific age group, it's going to be for everybody. And what it's going to be able to do is to provide people the opportunity to participate in whatever form of recreation they choose to participate in. We currently have a policy, and I know, Councillor Kelly, I've talked to you about it before. But we need to take that policy and we need to make it bigger and broader, and then we need to implement it. So that's one thing that we've committed to. Another one is a review and renewal of the Municipal Physical Activity Strategy, and that's part of our commitment through our contract or agreement with the government that funds part of NORM's position. So as part of that, we have to take our current strategy, we have to review it, we want community and, community input into that, and we're also waiting for through the government, they're redoing the Municipal Physical Activity Strategy priorities. So as part of that, we're waiting for those things to come down so that we can then link into all the links that there will be there. Another thing we've committed to is partnering with current not-for-profit organizations in order to develop opportunities to increase presence in their communities. We're always working at that. And the last one is to complete a review of all recreation grants and funding programs. So we currently have a lot of different ones, and what we'd like to do is try to put them together, things that can be put together, rewrite ones that need to be rewrote, and kind of make them better than what they currently are. So our plan and what we're asking for is to allow us to focus on a variety of different things. So we'd like to focus on that policy development piece, which is streamlining our policies and making them all make more sense, more cohesive. The second one is grants, programs, and criteria. So we have our grant programs that we currently have, and again, it's streamlining them, maybe changing some, maybe putting some of them together to make them all make more sense. The third one is we're looking to cease all short-term programming after April 1st, except Queen's Place, Milton Pool, and North Queens Aquatic Center. And instead, we're going to focus on broad-based, long-term, community-wide strategies aimed at affecting behavioral change that can be taken and implemented by our community partners. So one idea Norm and I have had that we'd like to be able to have the time to work on is specifically as a community wellness program. So, and that's involving all kinds of different community partners, and then being able to take it out into all communities and then be able to link into it. The fourth one is training. We feel one of the things we have been most successful at, but we haven't been able to do enough, is being able to train people for a variety of different things, whether it be bringing coaching opportunities here, volunteer training opportunities. The sky's kind of the limit. And if you look at, we gave you two handouts, this bigger one that's on the big paper. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but some of our things in there that have been most successful and have impacted the largest amount of people are our training opportunities, whether it be aquatics or whether it be bringing people down to train skateboard leaders or, you know, things like that. So we'd like to be able to do that more. It takes a lot of time to organize those and be able to bring them into our community. But by doing that, we're going to impact all the different, whether it be sporting organizations, community groups. You know, we can link it to anybody. So we'd like, obviously, to be able to do that. Infrastructure development, we'd like to look at what we currently have, what we don't have, you know, do an asset map, figure out where different spaces are in their lifespan, when they need to be redone, what we need to put there. That all needs to be done. Then we need to create some management plans to ensure the long-term sustainability. And an example of that one would be Pine Grove Park. We have this lovely, amazing park, but we don't really have a management plan for that. Not that that's anybody's fault, but I think it's an opportunity to look at that space, what we could do with it, what the community would like to do with it, and, you know, maybe change it. And that's only one example. There's many different. We'd like to continue doing our community grants, group support. So that would be free photocopying, booking appointments for the volunteer income tax program, poster and ticket production, community event promotion, sourcing out funding opportunities and assistance with grant writing, and community rec guides. So we'd still like to continue doing those things because they are important and they impact a lot of people. And we'd like to continue doing our annual Tattoo Bus Trip, Canada Day events, and National Health and Fitness Day activities. So, like I said in the beginning, we see this all as an opportunity. Not that what we're doing now is wrong. We just feel that if we take what we're doing, we change it a little bit, and we offer more of the supports and community partnerships and more of the higher level things that are going to affect behavioral change in the end, that we're going to make a greater impact. Programs only meet the people that come to them, but if you're doing more high level community outreach programs, that community groups can tie into, like I said, the wellness, the community wellness program is just an example of one, then anybody and everybody can tie into that. It doesn't matter where you are, where you live, everybody can be a part of it. So I know you're probably going to have lots of questions. And I don't know, Norm or Dana, do you have anything to add to the initial what we're looking for?
Can you, for starters, for me, can you define sustainability? How many year plan are you trying to put in place?
So I think you need 3 to 5 years.
Added to that, Bill, or is it okay?
Well, 3 to 5 years. I read through this and this other document. That's what we do now.
Right? Which one?
A lot of this big document we got when we came back from lunch is what we do now.
Those are all the programs that we've run in the last 2 years.
But we've heard, well, I've heard for the last year around this table and here again this morning that we don't have a good uptake.
Correct.
of those offerings. Have we got to the root cause of why we don't have that uptake? Do we know why we do not? The programs seem to be good, but why aren't getting engaged?
I think the thing we hear most often is that people don't want to come to a program at a specific day or time. They want the places and spaces to be able to go and be active and have the infrastructure or supports there to help them maybe pay for it or transportation to get there, but they don't want to be told, I have to be here at this time on this day.
I think awareness is a big piece of that too. Mm-hmm. I think that's something you need to look at as a communication strategy for those programs. That's just my personal opinion.
I think the way to begin to start with this, these things, because it's so big. I've been involved here so many years with so many things, and understanding what works and what doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of things we do just doesn't work. Simple as that. There's no other way of saying it. When you have people that are sold into what they're doing, it means so much more. I mean, like your brother, for instance, with the swim team.
Mm-hmm.
Swim team is like this. All of a sudden, your brother comes in. He's excited about it. He promotes it. Programming all to death. You can program it. It's not going to work if you don't have the right personnel into the right position. He comes in, and all of a sudden, you got 20, 30 people coming into it because he buys into it and sells into it. I've been involved with basketball thing. You go in and you buy into it, sell into it, and I get all kinds of players to come in. But we don't have the people who's willing to buy and sell into things. We're missing those people that are like we got people like Mike Green comes
mm-hmm.
in here with baseball. Baseball was dead here.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Green comes in here and all of a sudden he gets together with Susan, your son-in-law, and all of a sudden they revive it. So programming isn't going to work if you don't have the people that are going to lead it and be dedicated to it. And that's a harder thing. I know when I went back to basketball, we had a great team, and now they're pretty good up in high school because we did it when they were younger. But as soon as we walked away, the other people came in, just didn't have any, they just go into a motion. We gotta have people that aren't gonna go through motions, that's going to lead these things into something that's gonna be better. It's all about the leadership. That's leadership, leadership, leadership with everything. United Way down in Bridgewater, they have some things that are going on down there that I think there's so many things we're missing up in here this area. Like they got the bicycle program down there and things. We don't need to just talk about it. We said, there's some kids that need to get up and be active. There's people who have bicycles in their backyard who aren't using them anymore, that we can collect them together, get kids out there, get them active. Kids aren't, even for a lot of them, aren't into organized sports much as they're into activity. So if you can get these bicycles out there and get these in these houses so that kids could bicycle over to Queen's Place because they have no way to get there or things like that. They have, for United Way, they have the iPhone program where anybody with an iPhone 5 or better, you can give it to somewhere and they'll have a place that will fix them up, and it gets them into people's homes so they can get out more and be communicated with the world. I think there's things like that that we can, summer they have the movies down there. Get people, we can get them out, right? Get them out, get them to do things. We got to be active, and I think we just talk and plan a lot. that's my.
So
I've never been a talker planner. I'm a doer, and I think planning,
mm-hmm.
planning is, looks good on paper, but without that, is
I think what's being suggested here today is exactly what you're talking about. Is all these groups are out there doing things. So like baseball, for instance,
right?
They have the parents, they have the volunteers who are invested in it. It doesn't make a lot of sense for us to go off for a learning to play baseball program.
No.
In Port Mattoon or Mill Village.
Right.
We need to support the local group, whether it's in North Queens or Liverpool, that have an established program,
right.
to find ways to improve their infrastructure, to develop their leaders, their coaches, so they're fully trained and qualified,
mm-hmm.
and help them do some promotions to try to get more people from other areas. Maybe it's transportation, maybe
mm-hmm.
it's a grant we might provide to help reduce the cost of the programs, and no different than the United Way. So it's not government that's running those things, it's the community that's running those
Absolutely.
Things. I think that's what's being suggested here is,
mm-hmm.
We hire a summer student this year, and I forget what the percentage number is, but most of the programs can cancel.
Yeah.
Because one person doesn't have a connection to each of those different communities.
Absolutely.
But if you go to West Queens, they're offering programs all the time that I expect to probably get good participation. North Queens has programs all the time.
Absolutely.
Milton Community Hall is busy nonstop.
Absolutely.
Because they have the connection, they have the people for us to try to offer those programs. we're not successful. And
no,
as,
we're not.
As Megan said, I mean, we're trying to do different days, different times. And so the proposal is that we refocus and work on developing the leadership, supporting the volunteers, providing more grant opportunities to train people, to fix up community halls, and do it everywhere. And so if you look at the if you look at the handout that's attached to the big sheet,
mm-hmm.
if you look at the second page, it talks about where the green spaces are, like where our parks and trails are,
yes.
And where our playgrounds are. There's lots of places in Queensland into that. And so those people are forced to come somewhere else and be centralized.
Mm-hmm.
And what's being suggested is it's not fair. So if people need access to transportation, it's because we're forcing to, because we're centralizing things. And so why shouldn't we have a green space in West Queens? Why shouldn't we have one in East Queens? Why shouldn't we have some in different parts of the community that people can participate at their own time, their own hours, on their own with their family without scheduled times and fees and all that stuff? And I think that's what's being proposed is more independence. And so this is this whole idea about recreation on your schedule, not on our schedule.
That's right.
And that's the problem, I think, we're facing.
Yeah, I'm like with Jack, I don't know really where to start. I mean, what's, okay, first off then, just, it, like what CEO was saying, it's not rocket science. Why aren't we already doing that? Why don't we already recognize what's going on in the community? What makes us do this summer thing where we just put on all these events that get canceled?
Council asked us to revitalize our summer programming.
Council asked you to do that?
Mm-hmm, last year.
Last year?
Mm-hmm.
So when you revitalize your summer programming, why didn't you say this is the way we're going to do it? We're going to go out to all the other community groups and like it's just another way to do it, right? You decided to do it that way, but and put programs on.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you go to the community groups and support the programming that's already there or help them develop other programs in their community?
So we did. We work with all the community groups. That's why when we do our brochures, it includes everybody so that everybody knew what everybody else was doing and everyone tried to stay away from the same days and times. We offered partnerships with the library specifically.
The Archers.
The Archers.
Greenfield Rec Association.
Soccer.
Soccer. So that they could use Liverpool, the day camps we did. So we offered our summer student to help them to be able to do what they were already doing.
Right.
And those were the things that were successful. And then we obviously have to try to offer some of our things on our own. So we went out and tried to do things that people had asked for. So we partnered with Jamie,
Department
of Lands and Forests to try to offer some fire safety and wildlife safety so that children could go and learn how to be out in nature. Well, they got canceled. They were asked for, and they got canceled because nobody came. And they were free programs. We sent all of our programming home with kids in school, so the best way, and we had it all online as well, but what we found, especially for kids programming, is that it goes home in schools, it has to go in their agenda, parents look at their kids' agendas because they have to and sign for it, or that's what we have to do. So it's the easiest way to ensure that people are getting it. When we used to do mail drops, you would go down to the post office the day of the mail drop, and they were all in the garbage. Because they just get put in, people just take it with the junk mail and put it down. So we had to kind of change the way that we were trying to get the information out to the people we were going to. And our biggest focus was youth programming, especially this summer. So we felt that the schools was the easiest way to do that.
So I'm so, what you're proposing here
mm-hmm.
is what you said that you did do this summer. But it didn't work. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm not sure I understand.
We always
because
do
my
it.
Question is, why didn't you said you were, okay, my question is, you want to go out and change all of this and work closely with community groups. So we asked you last year apparently to change your strategy and for summer program, and you said you went out and talked and with other community groups and
mm-hmm.
helped them. And that didn't work either. But your process here is to go out and talk and to work with other community groups. What am I missing?
Yep, so that was one short term and it was a summer student. So there's no connection with that summer student. They come in and they're here for 3 months and then they're gone. So they don't have the community relationships built. So if we're going to help these organizations grow, it's not going to be in 3 months. It's
right.
Got to be over time. It's got to be going and meeting with them, talking about what their problems are, how we can help them, training opportunities that we can try to bring into our community to help them. And that can't be done in 3 months. What we tried to do in the summer was just those programs. So we had an ask for soccer in Greenfield, for example. So we partnered with the Soccer Association, because why would we go do it? They already offer soccer. So we offered to hire them, send them out there to do it because they wanted it, and then it didn't end up happening because nobody came.
So how do you think that will change?
So I think it'll change because you're looking at long term. So maybe it's that soccer on that day at that time, because it was a weekend. So the only time that they could go, because their schedules of their instructors were on weekends, and it was 4 Saturdays, and that was all they could do. So I can't tell you why people didn't sign up, but it could have been that the weekend wasn't the best time. But we were limited to when the instructor was available. If we get into the Soccer Association, for example, earlier next year, and we say, okay, how can we integrate this into your actual program? So not an add-on to what you're doing, but as part of what you're doing. How can we do that? Then you go to the community and you say, when is the best day and time to offer this? You go into the schools and talk to the parents. You know, there's ways to do it. The summer was trying to get those programs, and you know, you're limited on the time as well, because they're only here there for 3 months. So they have to plan, implement, and do in 3 months.
And demand might not exist in that community,
right.
Counselor. You look at the soccer's example. The Soccer Association has offered an element of their program in North Queens for several years. That's the difference. It's just they know the community, and if we establish a long-term relationship, then we know where to put our effort or where not to put our effort. And I think it's short-term is key, and the knowledge of community and that long-term ongoing relationship to know what to do and when to do it, and backfill but very selectively, but to work primarily, as Chris says, with the groups to know where to go with it, so.
And how does this affect your doing the physical activity? Is it physical fitness strategy?
A really, really big task is going to be the renewal of the physical activity strategy.
So are we basing what we're doing now on the physical activity strategy?
We are not, because it's outdated. You know, it's 10, 11 years old.
But we're supposed to be developing what we do here based on the physical activity strategy.
Then going forward, that's what we're suggesting to do, aligning those with the new criteria, sort of the new priority areas that the government is bringing down. And yes, that's a big redo. And
but your plan, and when's that supposed to be done? And because this plan is all going to be based on working together with the final physical activity plan strategy.
Strategy's got to be done this fiscal year. It's got to, you know,
right.
it's not going to be like when Megan did it. It took about a year to do it, but we had to start it from scratch. This one, we've got to streamline it to be community. Well, Chris, community and council, right, to verify, but it has to be greatly streamlined. And it has to be, that's a 92-page document that we've got on the shelf. And on the shelf are the keywords, right? It's got to be a living, breathing Bible that guides our work. And if council endorses this as a philosophy, I do believe that will make that the physical activity strategy much more effective. And to Councillor Johnson's point, this is how we get beyond those people that are already bought in. You know, when you look at it, there's a lot of people bought in, and to Councillor Fancy, they're bought into it, but there's a big old bunch of people who aren't. And that's where we measure success. Because you can put a lot of those people who are already bought into physical activity and wellness, we don't need to reach them. We need to go boldly beyond. And in my opinion, this will do.
I have a couple of questions, and one is the current physical activity strategy.
also, that guides Norm's work specifically.
Okay.
So we work on things that are in it, obviously, as a group, but that is the guide to what Norm, or whoever's in that position, is to do. So it is, like Norm said, a 92-page document. It took us about a year and a half to create with a board at the time.
Can I interject this for a second?
Yeah, of course.
So, Norm, you're under the MPAL Municipal Physical Activity
Leadership mm-hmm.
Program. And this is what the strategy was for?
Yes.
You had to develop that strategy in order to get the funds to help support.
It's part of the fund. It's part of the criteria, of it. So in the beginning when I was hired, when we initially became part of the program, that was what your initial thing was to do, to go out and create that strategy,
mm-hmm.
Which is what we did. And I'm sorry, what was the
and
other part
the
of the
position
question?
Under MPAL, like, was that, did they work hand in hand? And was that a criteria in order to get an MPAL person, was have that strategy in place?
Yeah, because that's what their function is. And then the MPAL person, whoever is hired under that, their job is to implement that strategy or
okay.
things that link into that strategy.
Currently, then, what things of that strategy have been implemented? Has that been documented?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
Can you tell us some of that? Or is that available here in any of your.
So we didn't specifically bring the MPAL portion with us today.
Why is that? Because if that's implementing the strategy, we should have that information. Developing a new strategy, correct?
So, yes, Norm has to go into the community to create a new strategy. We didn't bring it today because regardless of what we decide to do today, he has to redo that strategy.
Okay.
So, we can certainly bring that back at another time and go over specifically what's in that document. And going forward, Norm will certainly be going out into the community to meet with the different communities in public meetings in order to find out what needs to be in that strategy. We haven't done that yet because the government is redoing the MPAL program and their priority areas.
Okay.
So we're waiting for that to come down to us so that when they name their priority areas, obviously some of those will be areas that we'll specifically address. But there's also a bigger program that's being brought down. So it's going through the House of Commons now, Norm?
About the last 2 months has been
yeah.
released on the daily.
Yeah, so once that comes down, it's a bigger overall program that has many different things that never existed before that we want to tie into. So I wouldn't want to go redo the strategy right now before we have all of those things.
So if I may,
sure.
Just to try to put some context to this. So right now, so Norm's position is physical activity strategy. So he may offer a event where everybody meets at Pine Grove Park and goes for a walk. So that's a walking program, physical activity strategy. He may offer a program where we're going to go biking somewhere, we're going to meet here and go biking to Port Matuit or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Those are typical program type things. And what this is suggesting, if you look at the front page of this attachment to the big one, it talks about not offering a walking program, but putting our emphasis and our time and effort into facilities so people can walk safely in different locations. So people can walk, or sorry, people can bike certain locations. So maybe it is, we come up with a series of maps with our planning department and our rec department that says, here's walking routes. Here's a series of maps where there's biking routes that are safe. Here's where the water stops are, here's where you go to the washroom. Those types of infrastructure development things that we don't have now. So we can offer a program, but we're gonna offer a program for one particular day, for an hour, in one location. And what we're suggesting is that's not a wise use of Norm's time, that Norm can develop infrastructure all throughout Queens that people can participate in physical activity because they have park space available, because they have trails available, because they have routes they can run on, then people are gonna be more likely to use that. They're gonna do it on their own time, their own schedule, their own pace. And if we need to train leaders, that comes under the leadership training part of it. But this is about creating the infrastructure so people at any time they want. And 99% of these are no fee or low cost fees for people. And so that's what we're talking about, is changing Norm's strategy. So when he develops that strategy with his community or his committee or his group or whatever and consults, that's what we want to promote, because that's what we think the strategy should be, as opposed to offering programs.
which I always thought was happening or you were doing or was part of.
And so the challenge is, before we had a manager of Queen's Place at Steve, we had a director of recreation who was Megan, and then you had an MPAL person. They got combined, so now you have one person who's responsible for Queen's Place and all the recreation, the pools and everything else, and then you have one MPAL. And so this summer we hired one summer student. And so we're 1,000 square miles or whatever we are, or 2,300 square kilometers, you can't be everywhere. And people want us to provide service everywhere. If you look at our infrastructure is in a couple of communities. And so while we're doing that, we're centralizing things, and a lot of communities don't have, just, if you don't have transportation, then that's a barrier. And if we can provide opportunities, and most of our stuff is free, there are a few charges for some things, but if we can provide more opportunities for people on their own schedules in their own communities, we're going to have a healthier community, and that's the ultimate goal, as opposed to offering a program here, a program here. The long-term outcome isn't going to be a healthier community, it's going to be you're going to pick spots. And those spots are going to be in specific communities. They're not going to be for everybody, because otherwise people have to travel. And we know people aren't doing that. Right.
So the policy that we're currently working to says what? They're being driven by something. What is it? It's a policy. What are they being? What is the recreation department being driven by right now?
We don't have a strategy. There hasn't been a strategy of recreation in. There hasn't been one. I've been here.
We have a policy, Counselor.
Yes. What is
and
the policy? The
policy says that financial need will not be a barrier.
What do you say? Yeah.
Essentially. So if, and to put a plan, if somebody presents, and I don't know if you want to drill this down this far, but it's germane to where you eventually go with a policy, because cost is a huge barrier for some people. That basically, if you establish a means test and they pass the means test and they can't afford a program, you're going to let them in. Up to now, and this is under my watch, 100%, was that we only really used it for children's programming, most primarily
swimming lessons.
But it, you know, if you're going to drill down that deep, there might be, you know, there could be, I don't know if it's a serious financial implication. I don't know exactly how it will look, but a recreation for all policy removes barriers. After Carol presented this morning, I had a chat with her about, can we use the transportation network potentially to get people to where they're going, to maybe where they can't get otherwise. She said absolutely. So you look at the health determinants, cost, motivation, transportation, and then you start to break them down, and that's what a recreation for all policy addresses. And it's big and bold and it's far reaching, and it requires a lot of thought from staff and council to as part of an overall recreation strategy that Chris has asked us to consider. So there's a bunch of big picture pieces of work that need to be done. So
we have a physical fitness strategy and a recreation strategy.
That's two things we've talked about, correct?
Okay, just to start back around again, I guess. I do want to start off a little bit different than I did last time, and I do applaud the fact that you recognize that Houston, we got a problem. You know, at the end of the day, we got a problem. And we have to do something about it. Policy, strategy, it's all good, but if we don't have an implementation plan and a communication plan, it goes right back to what you said, Norm. It's a document that's too hard to do anything with, and it's laying and gathering dust. It's no different than some of the other stuff we talked about. We proved this summer that hiring a summer student without a strategy or an implementation plan on a short-term basis doesn't work. So we're starting to get to a root cause analysis and stuff like that. And that's where I think we need to go. But sitting here and making a plan, implementation, strategy, rewriting policy and all that stuff will not work without community engagement. It's the community we're trying to get to. We've got a nice list of programs, but if the community's not buying into it, there's reasons for that. They either don't understand they exist or they don't fit their need. And I would be remiss not to get a plug in about the link with the community school initiative that we're working at North Queens. And you knew that was going to come up today. No surprise. But at the end of the day, on October 18th, Megan and I believe the Economic Development Director is coming to a meeting to talk about how you we build a strategy around implementing those types of things and helping them run it. I'm not saying the region has to run it because you're only a staff of three, which to me is way not enough to make do, because recreation fits with economic development, it fits with everything that we're trying to do. And I can only speak for North Queens, but to that end, we've got to have more outreach to the groups who actually make things happen in those communities. We've got to start somewhere, and just having programs, it's not what I think is what fits. We've got to go out and look in, not in and look out. So that's my two cents worth of it.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Well, I think that
so, again, all this means nothing if we don't have relationships, and that's the whole thing, programming and everything, if without relationships, they don't do anything. And I found when I was doing just a few years ago, I was doing basketball up here at the South Queens, just because Simeon was home at the time, and I said, okay, let's do this, so I can give him some time doing it. We had 18 players on the team. They had just almost half boys were coming up to basketball, because I'd go up there and they let me go in and I'd talk to the boys, talk to them, develop a relationship with them. I didn't know them from Adam at the beginning. I developed a relationship with them. This thing of putting a program out and asking people to come, not going to happen. It's just those the way we used to do it, those days are gone. I know when I talked with Mike Bringer, he called around to the boys who were around the community and got them to come out to play. They weren't coming out if he didn't call them and talk to them. So if we don't get into the schools and talk to the kids and be part of this with them, it's just to set it up, even if you have somebody in the community that's going to go up and do this, they're not going to come. It isn't the proper way. They should come out anyway, but they don't. I'm just saying it won't work. It's what I've seen. Because I know the year before I did the basketball, they couldn't have a team because they couldn't get enough out. Night 18. So there's something missing there, and that's just getting to know the kids, talk to them, be part of it, and like I said, what Mike does with that baseball, they've done a terrific job with ball teams over here, because they got to get in, and then once people buy into it, then everybody else will buy into it. That's why I think our old CAO said, we're going to send the bus out to Caledonia and pick them up and bring them into a hockey game, and we'll do this for free, and we'll bring them all in. I said, you aren't going to get anybody on the bus. I said, oh yeah, never had one person get on the bus. Sent the bus out there for nothing, and they drove back in. Because it's got to be a buy-in. It's got to be, you've got to get to, even something for free is nothing if they don't get bought into it.
Which is exactly, Councillor, why the After the Bell programs work so well.
Yeah.
Like Trailblazers in Caledonia, and we just got approval to run them that one again, Councillor, and another one for females only at the South Queens Middle School.
Yes.
And I don't know about, but I'm trying to picture the last time we had eight adolescent females.
Never.
I can't do it. I can't do it. But Taryn's program is going to explode because she's, and we don't have time to drill down and do it, right? But she's in the school, she promotes it. She cultivates that relationship with these young women, and it's changing. I don't know if it's going to say it's changing their lives, but it's broadening their horizons, giving them opportunities through a grant program that they may not have otherwise. And that's how deep we got to go. And it's going to be a bit of a patchwork quilt of approaches, but it can't just be programs, because programs just don't get the results that we want.
Privateers is a good example. They went in there and they get into the school, got people involved, and they had a big thing with privateers, they get involved with the kids at the school.
And now some of that leadership doesn't seem to be in the community anymore.
Right.
And that another perfect example, I guess primarily female, not just females, but that offered an alternative to organized sports, perhaps some of the things that maybe the young women didn't want to do. That's where we have to go. That's how we're going to make a change.
Any other questions, comments? Councilor Kelly?
So it's a great idea, absolutely great idea, to pull all this together and have a strategy. What can we expect to see now? You have a plan. How will you roll it out? What will we do first? What will we see
So this level of program that you see on here isn't gonna happen anymore.
No, exactly.
So we will continue to program Queen's Place because it is an asset, but it will be based on what we hear in the community when we go out and ask people what they want. So you can expect us to start redoing our policies and our grant programs because we need to do that. You can expect Norm to redo his strategy, which will include the community consultation. So that will likely be the majority of what we will use as our guiding document. And we will do that as soon as we get the information from the government with the renewal of the MPEL program from them, so that we can link everything together. So that's important to be able to then link to grants, programs, and funding is to link into that overall high level program. So Norm will do that as soon as we get that, which they anticipate, and I know they keep saying it, but any day now we're gonna get it. So regardless, Norm will start doing that. Training and creating community partnerships. So that's something we do anyway. Norm especially is always out in the community talking. I know he's gone to almost every lunch meeting to talk to different groups. And so we're going to try to strengthen those community partnerships. So we need to know, to your point, what it is that we can do to support people. There's all kinds of great community organizations, sporting groups, volunteer organizations, you know, whatever it is, going, meeting with them, and trying to figure out what we can do to support what they do and what we can do to help grow what they're doing. And again, that will all then link into whatever our new policies and grant programs look like. So then we can take those once they're passed and we can say, okay, you can link into all of these things.
So you'll be mm-hmm. implementing and doing different things along the way, but at the end of it, this will be a whole new strategy of how we do recreation in Queens County.
So, for instance, trails. So we want to get people more active, whether it's walking, biking, those types of things. So on that document, it shows we have four trails. We own Trestle Trail, Pine Grove, Rails to Trails, and the Nature Walking Trail back there. That's all we own. We don't own anything else. But lots of groups out there own stuff. So the Queens Rails to Trails is trying to develop the trail network. I know there's some groups in North Queens, at least one that's developing the rail to trail up there. But it would make sense for me and for us, I think, that we put that all together, work with all the groups and come up with a network and say, how are we going to connect these? How do we come up with a document that people can share, that if someone's a biker and they come into town, bike groups come in all the time, where are the trails at? We can give them a map, or we can eventually develop an app that they know exactly where the trails are and they can use it. Right now, somebody comes in, they're on their own.
Yeah.
And this allows us the time to do those types of collaborative works with different groups to develop a network of trails with all kinds of different pieces, not just what we own, but what are owned by other groups in the community. And it's going to be beneficial to everybody, the local residents, as well as people that are coming to visit. Right now, we don't do that. We work in isolation. We worry about our own little couple trails.
I think that's why it's hard to understand what's happening here, is because it's an us and them, and I've never been an us and them. It's always been like, we do this together, right? But I understand where municipality comes into it, and then you have to be more particular about how you implement in the community, or how what you do in the community based on how you work with community groups. I think I get that now.
And I think, to be honest with you, and I'm gonna be brutally honest, I think I debate the idea that we do good community relationships and public consultations now. I don't think going to lunch with community groups is doing community consultations and understanding what they need and what the resources are that we can use. We need to do better than that. We need to get more in the face of the communities and not just have a meeting, but be part and parcel of what they do and understand how they fit. Like I said, like the ball program or the soccer program, or utilizing the private trails, you know, that's more Brookfield has, and trying to get it into Caledonia. What does the Fair Association do? That's the relationships that we need to do better. So when we say we do it, if we think we do it, we heard here for the last hour that we're not doing it well enough to be able to put an implementation strategy in place. You know, if we're going to write policy around grants and stuff, what works, what really worked, what was the success factor for Trailblazers in North Queens versus what was the terrible result we had with the archery program this summer. If we don't do that root cause analysis, we're not going to grow. And if we think we're doing
recognizing you're one person to do that, to the whole county. And if North Sticker takes, because he's MPAL funded, he has to go to 5 or 6 probably meetings a month for all these other different groups and stuff that he's required to for the funding. And so his time is very little. And so he focuses on whether it's lunchtime meetings or whatever it is, whenever he can fit them in, to all the other stuff going on. So we're organizing a lot of programs and things. And so you don't have a lot of time to do that, to develop that relationships. But this solution or this strategy hopefully will allow for more of that.
Well, I was going to say, you know, like if resource is an issue, you can't just throw a resource at it, because you got to have a plan on how you're going to utilize that resource. But when you've got a whole community full of people who volunteer now and are struggling, utilize that network and be able to build those community relationships. I like your word, relationships, is the key to what we need to do here. And yeah, just utilize that time better. You know, drive to Caledonia for one meeting, that's just a waste of 100 kilometers. You know, you need to be able to utilize that time and utilize the community resource that wants to be part of this stuff and make it work.
Any other comments before I thank you? Thank you, Councilor Johnson.
I do like the idea of the apps and things. There is something to that. If somebody comes in, I go down to Bridgewater, and almost every single time I go into Bridgewater, I go by Exit 13, I'll see bicycles coming out of that trail. There's people using that trail all the time on bicycles. So why are they using it and we're not, right? Is that something that it's just something that people built up to that? These are adults, right, coming through here. So why are they using their trails and we're not using our trail? Is it because we don't want to? Is it because we, you know?
Well, Town of Bridgewater bought their trail, so they own it.
Yeah.
And District of Lunenburg bought all their trails for the most part. So they've got a trail that goes almost the whole distance. We didn't do that.
I know, but still they're out there doing this, right? So is it, do we have apps and things? And maybe we develop, say, hey, let's go and do a bike ride sometimes. Trying to get other people. I don't know. I don't know how you go about it, but they are doing it, and we're not. So how do we go from here to here? Those are things that are concerns with.
I think sometimes you kind of plant the seed and you kind of get information out there and say, these are opportunities, and this is what other municipalities are doing. How can we conform, how can we do something similar? Not that we have that we have in the community, but we could get the word out there. I'm thinking about a project that was done years ago, and it was a fair that was held at the fire hall, and it was all of the community organizations were invited to set up a little information table. They came in, the place was filled. You remember that, Norm?
I do.
And the community came in and they learned all about all the other organizations in Queens County. And from that, they had displays, they had information. It was like a recreation fair.
Right.
And people were really impressed about what was available in Queens County for recreation opportunities within organizations that they ran themselves. We didn't do it. These organizations ran themselves. So
we did that
in
Caledonia.
That.
We did it at the Old Legion as well for many years.
Yes.
And
so
eventually
it
petered out a bit. So.
And I think the version of that we're doing now, we had a community sport and information night at Queen's Place last week.
Yes.
That's the second one we've had. We had 14 organizations, Norm?
14, yeah.
In the community room, and they all had their table and they all put out their information, and people could register for the sport if it was a sport. They could pick up information about the band and choir and vocal troupe, and so we've kind of adapted that idea, and we're going to continue to do those, obviously, because they were very successful and they definitely helped the organizations. We did the planning and the promotion of it, and they just showed up, so yeah, we had really good feedback on
that. We'd like to evolve that into an equipment swap.
Correct.
And that's where we get more value.
Right.
And, you know, if we sacrifice some of these other things, a sacrifice is kind of a harsh word, but if we don't do some of these other things that take more time to get these things that we know are going to have that extra benefit, that's exactly what we suggest.
Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees because there's so much out there. And you really have to target what is effective and not time wasting. And you know, that's the challenge of doing all of this. How do you do that? And I think community engagement is important, very important. But you gotta make that presentation to them so that they understand what is required of the organizations as well. Like there's Girl Guides organization. My granddaughter goes to Girl Guides, mm-hmm. and you know they're out there trying to encourage. Well, they earn their badges and that sort of thing. But recreation is a big part of that in whatever form it is. So I mean that could be an area where information could be passed on, and maybe that would increase memberships for that organization as well. So it doesn't matter what size an organization is. It could be one or two people, mm-hmm. and then it gives them an opportunity to grow. So any of those policies and how you go about getting that information out is so important. Councilor Fancy?
I'll just say one more thing, then I'll try to be quiet. Listen to you over there. One thing that I think we seem to have missed is before we used to have groups that would set up like we'd have like recreation, we'd have counselors involved with the recreation and things like that.
Yeah.
We're not involved with that anymore. So it's whatever you guys are doing, you're doing on your own. And we used to, I remember with Norm, we'd sit down and talk about things what we were going to do in recreation. I mean, we're able to be used if you need us, but we don't do that anymore. So there's things like Norm and I sat down and talked to the baseball club. They said, "Look, our field is in bad shape. What are you going to? What do you need? Well, we need to get some ground in here. Well, they put some ground in here. We'll bring some tournaments." Well, we were able to talk with the baseball club. So we're not involved with that from our council perspective anymore. There was always we always had people, chairs and vice chairs and everything else on these committees that helped. It was free resources. Maybe we're a pain too. I don't know. Maybe that was the other end of it. But I said we're here. If there's some things that I would say I'm getting older. I don't have the get up and go that I used to have. But I like do short spurts of trying to do things and trying to help.
Councilor Fancy, I wrote that down because that was when we had the different, we had the Committee of the Whole and regular council, and under Committee of the Whole, there were individual departments, and then there were counselors
yeah.
that were assigned or chairs of those departments for council.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we used to do, meet once a month or every couple of weeks and
mm-hmm.
just go over the department's plan. So. And I'm kind of missing that too. It was kind of gave you the input from the counselor perspective, and then you knew kind of what was going on and shared it with council on council day. I don't know whether that's of any value to start looking at that again. What do you think, Chris? You were here when we were doing that.
Used to have like 30 committees way back.
I know, yeah. But I'm not going to be organized committees again, but.
Yeah. I guess that's why we're here today, is to talk about a strategy and get direction from council and make sure council is involved and understand what we're up to, what we're thinking, before we actually take some firm action and move forward with it. I know in the past we used to have those committee meetings and there'd be one item to talk about like this, but then we'd add five things on it and we'd talk for 2 hours and socialize because you felt guilty coming in for a 5-minute meeting or a 10-minute meeting and then make it for a couple hours.
Yeah.
So we got away from that structure. And so. So there's lots, I think now there's a lot more feedback coming on. You get a lot of emails, you get a lot of reports, you get a lot of things, and you get them timely. You don't have to wait for the next month for the meeting, because that's what happened in the past. You get a report till a month, and then by the time you got that report, it was from last month, and it was a month and a half old. Now when stuff's going on, you get more stuff, and so we can continue to do that. If there's more information that counselors want, we can provide that on a regular basis. But we're always cognizant of the fact we don't want to fill your inboxes with everybody's stuff they're doing all the time. But we want to be, from my perspective, I want to focus more on doing some of these things. And this is the first one. And my hope is we'll come back. We're planning right now in October, we'll come back with economic development, have the same whole discussion about what we do with economic development, what the focus is, where our time should be spent, where staff
yeah.
should be focusing on, and do that. And this then prepares us for documents to get us to the budget when we get to the budget in the winter, that we'll have already had these general discussions of an idea of what's going on. And so we'll know where we need to plug the money in for the various things. Move forward. So I'm not a fan of going back to all these big committees again.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting that, but the whole concept is something we revise and do something.
But if people have interest in stuff, like if it's the baseball club, they have an interest, you send it along to Megan, and Megan will filter it, whether it's her or Norm or Dane or somebody looks after it. And we'll deal with it, and then you can check back and ask to be updated in a week or two or a couple weeks or a month to get an update as to what happened with that request. We can do that for you. It just, we get so many requests on a regular basis, sometimes we don't necessarily follow up with people, but it's not that we're ignoring stuff, we're just trying to go through the process and make some headway and stuff. And so, like I said, our department's very small, and we're not like a small town where we have 4 square kilometers or something like that. It's, I mean, we're a massive community, and you're trying to provide stuff to as many areas as you can, and I know we sometimes feel guilty that we're spending a lot of time in central areas and not in the other areas. But the difficulty now is we don't have a lot of infrastructure in some of the other areas. So in order to help some of those other communities, we've got to start thinking about some plans and programs. So when we go through this whole process, if council agrees to this, we'll look at where our parks are. There's some communities don't have any parks. And so should we identify a piece of land there that should be a park? Maybe it's a dog park. Maybe it's just a green space where people can go kick a soccer ball or do whatever they want on their own time. Or maybe it's a trail that exists there now or used to exist. And we help provide some funding to cut it out so people can do stuff on their own. So it's, there's lots of those discussions need to take place, and it's, because it's an ominous task here to try to focus all this stuff. But I'm optimistic in the next couple of months, if council endorses this, that we'll come forward with a strong plan that's going to outline where we think our strengths are, where we think we can fund all these programs, and where we can provide the best bang for the buck for all of our residents on the outcome side, as opposed to the outputs for just the programs here and there. But long term, that's going to make a lifestyle change for people, which is what Queen's Place has done. It's, well, it's a facility, it's more of a lifestyle change. The people that would have never supported Queen's Place walk over there every day because that's their new lifestyle change. And so we've got to do more of that through different parts of the community.
Councilor Johnson, just before I address you, I just want to make a comment, and you kind of sparked that in my mind. And that is, the Brook Recreation Committee have the parks down there. We've never really had a partnership or done anything with the park. Park. I mean, that's open space down there. That could be utilized for a lot of programs. You don't necessarily have to acquire land. There might be existing land somewhere that's not being utilized to its full capacity, and partner with those organizations, which is what you're intending to do. And that's one really good example. It's also the Seaside Community Center. Have that area down there in Beach Meadows. So, Councilor Johnson.
Well, I think I just want to quickly, in closing, you know, with the closing of the campground at Ketchy in 2020, you know, I think that's something we can't lose sight of. And that's an interdepartment thing. I know Steve is here. You know, how are we going to generate interest into the community? We're never going to bring all that back. But that has to be something I think needs to be on our radar and cross between recreation department and economic development and stuff like that. Because we don't want to lose sight of that, because that's going to be a huge impact on the whole county, not just out there, but if we start building it and implement it in 2019 to get people used to it, when they don't have the park, they'll use it in 2020, and hopefully in 2021 they'll sustain it. But we've got to keep that on our radar as well. But I think it fits very nicely with what your strategy is, because that's why I asked the question right up front, define sustainability. Is it 5 years, 3 years? It's got to be less than 3 years. That makes it flexible, we can work with it. So I just didn't, I want to make sure that that's going to stay on our radar, because that's huge to that North Queens Greenfield area and the amount of traffic that goes through there and programming and stuff that we do to attract people. So.
Sorry, my ignorance, but I wasn't even aware of that.
2020, the campground at Ketchy will be closed for the season because of a multi-million-dollar retrofit.
Just the campground.
Campground?
Ketchy still a backcountry.
Just Jeremy's Bay.
Yeah,
the campground.
Just the campground.
Backcountry camping
is still open. Yeah, right.
Ketchy's still open.
You'd be able to go in for days.
Ketchy campground.
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
Jeremy Bay is closed.
Yes. Correct.
It's the majority of the traffic they get.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you for that.
And so we, if Ketchy develops that relationship with people that come back year after year, and it's no different than like the ferry. Once you disrupt that, then people for that one season have to find an alternate location.
Exactly.
And they get comfortable, they're not coming back.
That's right.
So I think it's Councillor Johnson saying we've got to find another location where they can camp, so they can still camp and use the day park in 2020 and still be comfortable and have that relationship with that facility. So then in 2021, it just goes back to normal. If we don't do that, then you're going to have that break, and it's going to take years to develop that relationship back.
Yeah. Have something there that's going to draw that same clientele. You'll never get as many as you get to go through Ketchy.
say that once in your process that you keep council up to date on your action plan so that we have it documented, like where you're at with the specific things,
mm-hmm.
so that we can follow through on that and know what's been completed, what the status of each one of these things that you're planning to do. So.
And I think a lot of these things are listed even in the 2020 or the
yes.
document that Chris created at council time.
Council created, I just wrote it.
Anyway, so it'll come back. We certainly will keep you up to date, but Chris, those are included, a lot of them in those things, so they'll be updated probably again on those things. Yeah.
So part of this is redoing the funding criteria, so that's
mm-hmm.
part of the whole, this is recreation, but the whole grants organization, so that's on our target to do this
mm-hmm.
fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then as Megan said, we've got in here, you'll see there's 13 policies that deal with all this recreation stuff. You probably should get that down to about 4 probably. So we've got a lot of redundancy, a lot of paperwork. It's no different than the physical activity strategy now. It's 92 pages. We probably got to get down that probably to 12, from 92 to 12 probably. Because nobody's going to read 92 pages. So we've got to get it narrowed down. That'll be the focus for the next couple months is to bring those documents back to council to ramp up for December to figure out what the money's going to look like and how this is all going to work and come with a strategy that come April 1st. A, B, C, all these things are going to line up and start moving real quick.
So where do we go from here then?
Just looking
Chris?
For consensus today that we're supportive of the direction and then give direction to staff, the department to start working all these things.
So do we have that? There's no motion or anything, but authorization?
I'm not sure that what I read here for that sustainability strategy is what captures everything that we talked about here today. I guess it's the process. Well, it's just
why we work it. Why are we missing it?
Well, this document here, the one that we were presented,
mm-hmm.
to me, concept paper. I'd like to see that reworked to capture some of the stuff that we talked about today around the community engagement and how we're going to. This is a lot of, it's not a lot of how in this, it's a lot of what we do now.
So you'd like to see a document that really gives direction?
Well, I guess it's another high level document before you start moving into stuff. That's all.
I understand this to be. This is a plan, and it's to create a strategy by rewriting the policies for number one, and to write it into a strategy, an overall strategy that addresses all of these bits and pieces in the.
I think under council authorization at the second to the last paragraph, basically is what we're asking.
Yes.
Prepare the required plans and budgeting for December.
Yes.
That's what we want. That's similar.
The one that's stapled, the big one,
yeah.
gives you the 11 principles.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if we agreed to that, then I think that's the direction of staff
mm-hmm.
to start hammering out those 11 principles in more detail. I think that's what you're looking for, Councilor Johnson. It says, okay, we need some management plan, so Pine Grove Park, we're going to do that in 2019, or maybe we're going to do it in 2020. This is what it's going to look like. This is the parameters, this is who's going to be involved, this is what the costs are going to be, if there's any. And then we do that for each of those. Like. So community group support, this is the parameters, this is what we're willing to offer, this is how we're doing it, here's how we'll engage the community groups. Those types of things. We'll flush out those details a little more on those 11 principles.
So there'll be an overall strategy of how we approach recreation in the future, but then there'll also be a strategy for each one of these principles and how you're going to achieve that?
To the overall strategy, which will link into the physical activity strategy.
Yeah, okay, gotcha, yes.
And then we'll have, won't necessarily be a strategy, but it'll be a work plan for each of these 11 principles.
These will be a work plan, right, okay, for each one of these things. That's what we do now, and is this going to be, this is all part of what we do now?
Like, we don't have any detailed plans for this, we just go do them.
Are you?
Right, so, okay, but we do, yeah, but we do, this is all part of what we do now, we just don't have a, the written plan is how that's achieved.
Some of it we do now. Some of it we do now, like, we don't do trail development, we don't do park development.
Right.
We've done playground, we've done pine grove stuff, infrastructure developments, but really, we don't have a clear sense of where we're going, that's what we're trying to do.
Okay.
Think, once you get started, you'll know kind of what the layout will be, and you'll have a discussion as to, and we can review it.
But my concern comes in that those 11 things that are written, that those are programs and things that we're gonna do, that's not a strategy.
No.
Because we didn't build a strategy to come up with those are things that we do now. And if I can use an example, I know when I talked to Steve about the opportunity to do programming in North Queens, in Vision 2020, it says very clearly in there that we're gonna focus on Privateer Park. And the report that we got this morning was focused on Privateer Park. Privateer Park is one part of the region. I'm concerned that I would be more willing to deal with the part that talks about the plan and come back and put some meat to that skeleton versus focusing, because I'm afraid we're gonna go down a squirrel hole here when it says parks, Pine Grove Park Plan. Well, you know, what does it mean by trails development plan? Maps and maintenance doesn't mean anything to me. That's actual doing something within the guidelines of what we already do, as compared to how we need to do it differently to get it right. See, maybe I'm not articulating this well.
I think you believe we do more than we do. So I haven't seen a map of Pine Grove Park in 25 years.
No one.
So that's about developing a plan, a map and a system. So if somebody, we can put it on a brochure in a tourist bureau somewhere, because Pine Grove Park is one of the gems we have here that people come from other places to use it. But right now, they just walk in the door and they don't know where they're going.
There's no signage there.
There's no interpretation of the plants and the shrubs and things that would be there, which attract a lot of people, like an Apples County Garden.
Or perhaps it's then taking those natural playground elements and putting them around Pine Grove Park. So as you're walking, your children are having things to do, and like, that's all gonna be part of a plan. I can't tell you what's gonna be in that plan right now, because we haven't gone out and asked anyone what they'd like included in Pine Grove Park. And that's just one example.
But now you're saying what I'm thinking, that isn't on this paper. You're gonna go out and ask somebody who is really in the know, the community, the people who use Pine Grove Park. What should you be promoting and stuff like that?
And we will do that when we come up with when we flush this out a little bit. It might be Pine Grove Park is on the map for 2019, it might be 2020 or 2021. But when that year that we do that, that's when we do that consultation. We don't do it now. We do that consultation, all that legwork, in that year that we work on that plan and that strategy for that particular facility. Right now, we're just saying we've got all these facilities. It's no different than, I know you talked to Steve about the fairgrounds up there, about trying to do more activities up there. It's the same thing. We've got to figure out. It's not just, we own Privateer Park, so that's why we need to do something with it. But it's helping those community groups develop their facilities as well. And so that's going to continue. So we're not going to go out and do the events in those places, but certainly our job is to support them, provide some funding for them, do marketing and promotions for them, help locate events that might be appropriate for it. We're still going to do all those things.
And it's coming back here for review on a regular basis. So if we think it's staggering a little bit,
and under these principles, they're basically principles, but under each one of those headings is an area that's going to be enhanced and redeveloped and concentrated on.
Yeah, and in some cases, just done in general.
Done in general.
Yeah. So an example would be under playgrounds. So we don't have a playground. There's no plan. There's no rhyme or reason. You know, it's been, if a playground comes to a point that it needs to be replaced, we just put in exactly what always was there. So, for example, Cobbs Park, you know, we're probably going to have to look at what we're going to do with that at this point. So, you know, going out and asking, do you put in the exact same thing? I can't tell you that because I'm not sure. Maybe it's that you put in elements for adults as well. Maybe it's that you don't put exactly what's in just because that was what was in before. And that's what we want to be able to do, is to take those spaces that we own be able to determine with input what should be there, and then create a plan on how we're gonna do that.
Maybe we don't need another infrastructure across the park.
Exactly, I was just gonna say.
Right, and that could.
You're gonna get two on the water right now.
Working with the public, and those other groups that are already doing this in the community mean that these will, may not need to be developed. We don't need to absolutely have to do something.
And that could be the end outcome, correct.
That's right, and then you may.
Green space is just nice.
It might be green space, and then maybe you take that opportunity to put a play structure in another community that doesn't have one now.
Correct.
And that's the whole, that's what we'd like to do, yeah.
Okay, any other discussion? Are we ready for nothing else to discuss? So I think we're looking for an adjournment.
Do we have a consensus?
We have consensus, yeah. We have consensus.
I'll go forward, ye of little faith, but I'll go forward with it.
That's not very promising.
Yeah, Jack, geez. Consensus is achieved.
Remember you said you were going to call it.
So I can add an adjournment, this is an adjournment. Moved by Kevin Hughes, Council Hughes.
Thank you to all our recreation personnel. They had a
thank you very much, yes.
Busy summer, it wasn't, it's lots of challenges, and so.
Do we need a second for adjournment?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don't use adjournment.
Seconded for adjournment?
Yeah, for adjournment.
Happy Johnson.
The lights do.
All those in favor?
Turn left.